Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, August 16th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're coming to you live and direct from beautiful legal potland, Oregon, where the sun is shining, the sky is clear, and the marijuana is tasty. We're having ourselves quite the day here and covering all of the aspects of marijuana legalization as it happens around the country and getting ready for this weekend's upcoming Seattle Hemp Fest. It's the Silver Anniversary Hemp Fest, ladies and gentlemen. 25 years of protests in the park, and I'll be there all 3 days, starting Friday at around 1 p.m., leaving Sunday around 5 p.m. And we will have so many vendor interviews, activist interviews, expert interviews, musician interviews, everybody we can track down, and we'll bring that to you on next week's Russ Belville show. So make sure you stay tuned for those. It's going to be an amazing time out at the Seattle Hemp Fest. Coming up on today's show, we've got great news to bring to you. A Ninth Circuit court decision was held out today that gives a lot of good news to the medical marijuana community. We'll brief you on that in our cannabis focus segment coming up right after the news. Also on the show today, a new study is out showing a shift in the patterns of regular marijuana use, especially among us daily cannabis consumers. I'll ask the question whether that's something we really need to be concerned about or not. Then coming up in our interview at half past, we've got a segment of our Reformers Reader that I'm really excited to get to. Longtime fan of our guest today, Hyapatia Lee. She is the stoner sex columnist for High Times magazine and High Times online. And we will be asking her questions about stoners and sex and the industry that relates to both of them. So stay tuned for that coming up at half past. After the interview, we'll have time for a radical rant where I'm going to give some advice to the red states out there that so desperately want medical marijuana but feel like they might not be able to get it. I'm going to give you an idea on a kind of a loophole you might try to get some medical marijuana in your state. So stay tuned for that coming up at the end of the show. We'll also take you into Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, where we've got more news to cover, including Dr. Sanjay Gupta's reaction to the DEA's rescheduling rejection on cannabis. We've also got a note on Colorado's latest sales figures for medical and recreational cannabis. And I'll also bring you a couple more clips from the Boise Hemp Fest that took place on Saturday. Another tune from Chief Greenbud and my short speech to round out the evening's festivities. We'll end the show today by taking a look at the Olympics and Michael Phelps and Usain Bolt, two of the most productive potheads in history. But everything starts with the cannabis radio news, and in our headlines today, we are going to take you out to that Ninth Circuit court decision. We're also going to take a look at a bill in California that will help the medical cannabis industry with their payment of taxes. We've got news from the United Kingdom on their testing of a new CBD oil vaporizer, and news from Melbourne, Australia on the rollout of medical cannabis in the state of Victoria. There's a new type of cannabis competition, a growing competition taking place in Denver. That's the first of its kind. We'll tell you why. And another look inside the arrest statistics from New York City that show us a bit of a silver lining. All that coming up in the next 2 hours live from beautiful legal potland, Oregon. I'm Radical Russ. Stay tuned. The news is next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
K cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, August 16th, 2016. San Francisco, California. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals decided today that the Department of Justice may not spend taxpayer dollars to conduct prosecutions of patients and their providers in states that have legalized medical marijuana. The ruling is in response to 10 cases brought up on appeal that cite the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment, a rider to congressional appropriations, that forbids the use of tax dollars on medical marijuana cases. The Department of Justice had argued that their prosecutions weren't countermanding California's ability to conduct its medical marijuana operations, while the author of the amendment, California Republican Dana Rohrabacher, responded that the amendment was created specifically to end the DEA raids. The cases returned to the lower courts to determine if the defendants had been following California law and therefore should have been immune to the federal raids and trials. Sacramento, California. Lawmakers in the Golden State are proposing a bill that would allow California's burgeoning medical marijuana industry to pay its state taxes in cash without penalty. Federal law still maintains that cannabis is a Schedule I drug, so traditional banking services are unavailable to most cannabis businesses. Currently, dispensaries and other businesses that pay their state taxes in cash are charged a 10% penalty by the Board of Equalization for amounts over $10,000. Businesses can apply for a waiver on a case-by-case basis, but the process is, quote, very cumbersome and time-consuming, end quote, according to one assembly member. If the bill, now awaiting signature from Governor Jerry Brown, is passed, the 10% penalty will be dropped for cannabis businesses. London, United Kingdom. A unit of Britain's National Health Service is testing a CBD oil vaporizer pen, legitimizing another medical use of cannabis. The MediPen has been on sale to the general public for about a year now, but this marks the first time the government-run healthcare system has evaluated cannabinoid vaporization. The GW pharmaceutical spray product called Sativex, a whole plant extract of CBD and THC, has been recognized by the government for treatment of multiple sclerosis, but it is available by prescription only. Quote, as the first consumer cannabis product to be tested by the NHS, said MediPen Managing Director Jordan Owen, we are confident that this will go a long way towards creating a properly regulated cannabis market in the UK. Melbourne, Australia. A new committee will be formed to supervise the rollout of medical cannabis in the Australian state of Victoria. In April, Victoria became the first state to legalize the use of cannabis to treat epilepsy in children. Cannabis won't be available in raw plant form, but rather dispensed in pill, tincture, oil, and liquid formulations. The government committed $28.5 million Australian dollars to the project, which will include 16 experts to advise on which patients should next be eligible for medical cannabis. The government says the cannabis cultivation centers are on track, but would not estimate when in 2017 the cannabis products will be made available to patients. Denver, Colorado. A new type of cannabis growing competition is set to find the best commercial horticulturalists in Colorado. The Grow-Off is a brainchild of Denver Post cannabis reviewer Soham Shaw, Hempbox founder Samantha Sant, and comedian Jake Brown. Each grower competing must have a commercial grow license and will receive a clone of exactly the same mother plant as every other grower. Unlike traditional grow competitions that compare various sativa, indica, or hybrid strains, growing from one mother plant will allow apples-to-apples comparisons of growing skills. Growers will be judged on terpenoid profile, how well it smells and tastes, cannabinoid profile, how much medical cannabinoid content there is, and yield, who produced the most product. New York, New York. While marijuana arrests seem to be on the rise in New York City, the results of those arrests are less likely to lead to a night in jail. Of the 3,897 marijuana smokers caught by NYPD in the first 3 months of 2016, only 11 spent the night in central booking. The rest received desk appearance tickets and were released. In the last year of Mayor Bloomberg's term, during the first 3 months of 2013, there were over 7,000 tokers, with over 4,000 spending the night in central booking. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, August 16th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put the big celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a Resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we celebrate the ruling by the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that decided that the Department of Justice cannot spend any money to prosecute federal cases against defendants who were complying with state medical marijuana laws. This was a very important discussion. We
the Ninth Circuit covers Colorado, Washington, Oregon, Alaska, and most of the western states out here. It's a unanimous ruling by a three-judge panel. Two of them are Republican appointees who have a history of pro-law enforcement opinions. So we got that out of some of the people you'd expect to be kind of anti-cannabis. So that's really good news here. Now, what this means is it refers back to a rider to a congressional appropriations bill that was passed called the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment. It used to be called Hinchey-Rohrabacher after Maurice Hinchey, who used to be one of the proponents. Now it's Dana Rohrabacher and Sam Farr. It's got a lot of co-sponsors, Earl Blumenauer among them. And it passed for the past couple of congressional votes. And what it does is it bars any taxpayer funds from being used to interfere with the lawful operation of medical marijuana laws in the states that have legalized medical marijuana. Now, that would seem pretty straightforward, wouldn't you think? Can't spend any federal money going after medical marijuana. That would include the Department of Justice, which includes the Drug Enforcement Administration. So not only can they not pay the cops, the DEA agents, to go out there and raid and seize, they can't even pay a Department of Justice attorney, a U.S. attorney, to file a paper, right? You can spend no taxpayer money on this. It seems pretty cut and dry. Well, it wasn't. The Department of Justice went ahead with raids on lawful medical marijuana providers in California, in Dana Rohrabacher and Sam Farr's own state. And when they were rebuked about this, the Department of Justice spokespeople said, well, we don't see that that Rohrabacher-Farr amendment really means that. It says that we can't spend any money to interfere with the lawful operation of state medical marijuana. And by goodness, we're not. Nothing we're doing is stopping a medical marijuana patient from having a medical marijuana card or growing medical marijuana or going to a pot shop. We're just enforcing federal laws against people buying and selling and growing marijuana. This earned a stern response from Dana Rohrabacher himself, who said, "Don't you tell me what the congressional intent was on passing this law. I wrote the damn law. I know exactly what the intent was, and the intent was to stop the raids. Pure and simple." DOJ didn't agree, and so this had to go to court, and now the Ninth Circuit has finally told Department of Justice, Dana Rohrabacher knew what he was doing. He wrote what he meant. You cannot spend your money to bust people and prosecute people that are following state medical marijuana laws. So now there's like 10 cases of different dispensary owners, different grow owners that had all appealed based on the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment. All those cases go back to the lower courts now. It doesn't mean these people get off scot-free. It does mean the courts have to verify whether or not they were following state law. Because if they were following state law, then not a dime should have been spent to prosecute them, and those cases should be thrown out. So there's still a step to go, but it looks pretty good for these cases that they may be able to get these cases thrown out. However, there is a hitch. There's always a catch, isn't there? And that is that these cases could be tabled. These cases just could be delayed because upon the seating of a new Congress, it's possible the next appropriations bill wouldn't contain the Rohrabacher-Farr Amendment. Keep in mind, this is lawmaking through the purse strings, and that has to be appropriated every year. This isn't like passing a law that stays in effect until it's repealed. This is something that expires every year and has to be renewed. Now, we've been lucky these last 2 years that Congress has been on our side and restored that amendment, but what if for some reason next Congress it doesn't happen? If we lose those Republicans who came over to our side, if they vote to not include Rohrabacher-Farr, then all those cases could be picked up again because now there would be money in the Department of Justice for prosecuting those cases. So it's good that we've got this kind of purse strings loophole to protect our medical cannabis industries in California and the rest of the Western states, but it does not go far enough. because it is vulnerable. We are so vulnerable right now to the next administration rescinding the Cole memo and the next Congress rescinding the Rohrabacher Farr Amendment. If you don't think your vote matters, you need to think about some of those things, some of the U.S. attorneys and some of the Congress people that will be deciding these issues. And of course, the president who will ride over that entire executive branch, including the Department of Justice.
And your mother was begging Barack to stop.
Mr. President, that's rather rude. Happy 420 to our friends in the Mountain Time Zone. Denver, Colorado, Boise, Idaho, we're looking at you. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go into some drug war data mining, taking a look at a new study that says there's a whole lot more daily pot smokers after we legalized. Gee, I wonder why.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strains stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
It's time to Hemp Presents.
I am going to titillate your audio orifices with weekly radio rendezvous with some of the premier movers, shakers, and history makers of the cannabis community.
Radio resident Hempo Sapien Vivian McPeak.
I will be putting out a call to action on issues of the day and putting your interests under the big lights as I provide cannabis commentary and weekly interviews that go straight for the nugular.
Marijuana!
Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabet since 2012.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at a study that was published in the Journal of Drug Issues, taking a look at the demographics of marijuana consumers between 2002 and 2013. The study is authored by Stephen Davenport and Jonathan Calkins. I've covered a lot of Calkins' work before, and he's generally an honest researcher. And the study finds that the users of marijuana who smoke daily has grown rapidly, and that many of those frequent users are poor and lack a high school diploma. So the key to this is they say in the early 1990s, 1 in 9 past month users was using daily or near daily. Let's just say daily from now on, right? So 1 in 9 of us that were monthly tokers were daily tokers. Now it's 1 in 3. 1 out of 3 people who toke monthly are daily tokers. And they point out that daily users account for over 2/3 of the self-reported days of use, or 68%. So what they're saying here is if you added up all the days that anybody claimed to have smoked pot, 2 out of 3 of those days are you and me, the daily pot smoker. Only one out of three pot smoking days is somebody who doesn't consume daily. And what they're pointing out here is that the consumption pattern here then makes cannabis consumers demographically more similar to tobacco smokers than to alcohol drinkers. The spread of people that drink monthly, weekly, and daily is a much broader spread than the spread of people that smoke cigarettes or cannabis, where we're heavily weighted toward the daily user. Now, as I read this, it's interesting to me, but I also have to read between the lines. And what they're saying between the lines here is, oh no, be afraid there's more daily pot smokers. But nothing in this article really goes off to say that there's any problem here. There's one small bit that Jonathan Calkins sent to the Cannabist in an email. He said, most people who have used marijuana in the past year are in full control of their use and are generally happy with that use. But consumption is highly concentrated among the smaller number of daily and near daily users, and they tend to be less educated, less affluent, and less control of their use. Now, the fear that they're trying to generate here is that as we legalize, the people who have a problem with their marijuana use will have greater access because there will be pot shops and they will be selling pot cheaper. And that indeed is true. Indeed, if you are a problematic cannabis consumer and the only thing that's been keeping you off the pipe is the cost of it and the availability of it, then sure, if we legalize and make weed cheap, life's going to be tougher for you. But the question is, do we set policy based on what is best for the vast majority of consumers, or do we set it based on that tiny fringe that can't handle it? Because if that's the way we were going to set alcohol policy, we'd have a whole lot more restrictions on alcohol. If we had to set alcohol policy based on the fact that some people, about 10% of the drinkers, become detrimental alcoholics, both to themselves, their families, and to society for that matter. You can bet that we wouldn't have cheap beer. We wouldn't have pitchers of beer at the bars. You can bet that there'd be all sorts of punitive taxes, even worse than the taxes already associated with alcohol. There'd be limits on how much you could buy, how much you could use. If we had to set the alcohol policies based on the worst alcoholic, we would not have the alcohol policies we have today. So it seems to me we should not set the marijuana policies based on the worst stoner either. Another thing that lacks consideration in a study like this is how many of those consumers are using cannabis in lieu of something else. This is in particular when they talk about the poorer, the daily consumers tend to be poorer, have lower incomes. Well, part of that is because being a cannabis consumer keeps you out of some of the top jobs. That could also go for the lower education statistic. The pot test keeps you out of the best scholarships and financial aid. But also consider that people that are on the lower socioeconomic spectrum may not have the money to see a doctor to get a prescription for some sort of painkiller. Keep in mind that living under the poverty line is incredibly stressful, and these people can't just run out and get a prescription for Xanax from their doctor or Prozac. People that work long shifts, 2-3 different jobs, who can't get to sleep, can't just go to the doctor and get themselves a prescription for Ambien. But these people who are poorer, who are working hard, who are on the lower socioeconomic ladder, less education, they can get a hold of cannabis and they can use that as a painkiller, as a stress reliever, as a sleeping aid. So take these statistics that you hear about daily cannabis consumers with a grain of salt, because like I often say, you say that like it's a bad thing, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. The amount of cannabis someone is using, how often that person is using cannabis, how much they use cannabis per time they use it, how they use it, all of that is irrelevant. What matters are the outcomes. Are people's lives better or worse with it? Or are people's lives better or worse with prohibition? That's the question. All right, when we return, be speaking with stoner sex columnist Hyapatia Lee and taking your questions in our chat room. Stick around.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch, and the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the Cannabis Liberation Movement takes a huge step forward, and Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the Cannabis Crusade. Join us Thursday, November 8th for Vote 2016, The Path to Cannabis Freedom. Only on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformer's Reader.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Reformer's Reader. Today we speak with a fellow columnist at HighTimes.com. She writes the Stoner Sex column. It's Hyapatia Lee who's on the phone with us. How you doing, Hyapatia?
I am great, sweetie. Thank you for having me. How are you today?
Well, I am fantastic, and I got to tell you, 16-year-old me from 1984 can't believe who I'm talking to.
Aw, bless your heart. That's so cool.
So, Hyapatia, tell us about the Stoner Sex column. How long have you been writing this column?
About 3 years now, a little over 3 years. I love it. I get all kinds of wonderful questions from people who are readers and write in with all their different questions about sex and how to enjoy sex while you're high, relationship issues, all those nice things. So I encourage everybody to please, if you have any kinds of questions, write to me. I'd love to hear all about it.
Yes, please do. And do these questions end up in a book? Have you written a book? Is there anything else we can read from you?
Yes, actually, I've written a couple books. My second book is due for release in the next few weeks. It does not include any of these questions from my Stoner Sex column, however. It's basically telling everybody about the Native American tradition of emotional strength. The book is titled Native Strength: The First Step on the Path to an Indomitable Life. So these are lessons that I have learned throughout the years, searching through my own personal ancestors, other Native American medicine men and women throughout this country and Canada, on traditional methods of maintaining emotional strength. And I have found that a lot of these methods incorporate the use of cannabis. Which is totally understandable, because with cannabis, as you know, and as most of your listeners do, you can filter out all the bullshit. You can make the rest of the crap in life just shut up, go away for a minute, make all those stressors quiet themselves and relax while you can focus yourself. And a lot of times our world is so hectic nowadays. We don't have time, or we don't make the time to just sit there and focus on our lives, to reflect on the five areas and the five arenas of our life. In other words, family, political, economic, social, religious, all these different areas of, and aspects. And when I say sexuality, I'm not talking about just sex, but every creative aspect of our individuality. And as you know, cannabis can help us with our creativity. If we take the time to use cannabis, set aside a few hours, and maybe take a pen and paper and write down the things that we are doing in our life and focus, is this really what we want to be doing? Or we just put everything on automatic because that's basically how life is. I mean, so many times we're so busy rushing from one thing to the other, you know, trying to maintain our sustenance, you know, make money, make sure our environment is safe, all those things. We don't have time to stop and think, are we really focusing on what we want to focus on? Mm. When we get at the end of our life, have we spent our life on the things we want to spend our time on? And I think cannabis can help us with that. Wow. It can help us to prioritize.
Now
it also can help us to relax and laugh and enjoy things, and that is very integral to life.
Absolutely.
Quality of life.
Absolutely. And
I'm
excited.
More important.
I'm excited about this book from the perspective, you know, a lot of people in the cannabis community have a little bit better understanding of our place in nature and how plants are involved with that, just because, you know, we've studied
exactly.
cannabis so much. But the aspect of Native American teaching with respect to the emotional side of things, rather than just the medical, is really fascinating to me.
I think because there's been such a wonderful breakthrough with the many different things cannabis can treat, in particular post-traumatic stress disorder. I think cannabis, and I think this will be found very soon, it can help with so many other things that are emotionally impairing besides just post-traumatic stress disorder. The Native American community and philosophy is that inside of us, we all, whether we're male or female, we all have inside of us a little boy, a little girl, a man and a woman, and two wise elders. Most of the time, our life is consumed by what our adults are doing. They're running around making sure that our jobs are taken care of, that we are paying our bills, that we are feeding ourselves and our family. That's the job of the adults. But there are children inside of us that need to be paid attention to. They need to be able to enjoy life, or we will find ourselves in a state of unbalance, where we are no longer able to force ourselves to work all the time. We will find ourselves rebelling. And if we don't give these inner children the time that they need to play and enjoy life, giving ourselves a quality of life, it becomes almost impossible for the adults inside of us, our adult personas, to take over and do the things we need to do to survive. Now, I haven't mentioned the elders. The elders are very important. They have the key to any question or problem that we may have. And so often we don't take the time to commune with these elders. Most of all, we don't even realize they're there or want to even acknowledge their existence. Our society wants us to reach out to a higher power, when oftentimes we don't realize that higher power is within ourselves.
Mm, well put.
The inner elders, thank you, dear. Thank you so much. The inner elders have so many answers, and if we don't quiet the adults who are busy with the daily activities that we need to do to survive, if we don't quiet them, we won't be able to listen to the elders. Mm-hmm. Cannabis helps us quiet that.
Yes, yes. We're speaking with Hyapatia Lee. She writes the Stoner Sex column for HighTimes.com, and you can find her books on Amazon, I assume, and other locations. I did want to ask you about the similarities or differences between the two worlds, speaking particularly of sex and drugs. You know, both have been demonized. Mm-hmm. Both are natural human longings. What differences or similarities do you see in the fight for, say, liberating cannabis versus the fight of liberating and legalizing sex work?
My whole focus is on healing the mind, releasing endorphins and oxytocin in our brain. that are naturally there. This is done through such things as sex, laughter, and by smoking cannabis.
Yes, yes.
They're all related. Music, other things that help us enjoy life and help us have a better quality of life. All of these things are integral. We can't just force ourselves to put our nose to the grindstone 24/7. There has to be some quality to life. Otherwise, it's just not worth living.
Well, do you see any...
I think sex is not only important for obvious procreation and those sort of things, but for personal enjoyment. It releases endorphins in the brain. It calms us. Cannabis does the same thing. It calms us. It helps us to better focus and center ourselves so that we are not so much at the effect of the other people in our environment and the natural environment itself.
What about any parallels with the role of women in both worlds, the empowerment of women, I guess? A lot of women in the cannabis community are looking toward it being the first industry that we get to build from the ground up that's not male-dominated. And then, of course, in the sex work industry, there's a whole dynamic involved there with women's empowerment. Do you see any parallels there?
I see some, but not as much. There's not as much female empowerment as I would like to see. There is still a glass ceiling in the greenhouse.
Okay.
I worked as a cannabis grower. I was in charge of quality control for one of the largest medical and recreational suppliers out here in southern Colorado where I live. And while the people that I worked for were very open-minded and nice and understandable and gave women more opportunities than most, I still found there's definitely a glass ceiling in the greenhouse. I'm sorry, but there still is. And in the adult entertainment industry, even though women who are in front of the camera tend to make more money than men in front of the camera, the women are still not as empowered as they could be. This goes back to my Native American, the way I was raised. I was raised by my grandmother. The Native American, most of the tribes, are matrilineal. They're gynocentric. They are ran by women, most of the tribes. There are a few exceptions, like the Chippewa, but 90-some percent. For example, when a man and a woman get married, the child's last name comes from the mother, not the father. That's why when I first married, my husband's name became Bud Lee. It's written in Wikipedia that this was done because I'm a feminist. No.
No.
It was done because he embraced my Native American heritage. He was open-minded.
That's beautiful.
And Lee is my great-grandmother's last name. This is the matrilineal heritage. We all know who our mothers are. We might not be so sure about our father.
That's true. Kind of hard to lie about that.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the most wonderful things that the adult entertainment business has done over the last several decades, well, for example, since 1980. In 1980, 2.4 women per 1,000 over the age of 12, rather, were victimized. They were raped that year.
Yeah.
Okay? This, in 2013, which is the latest statistics that we have, the rate was 0.4 per 1,000. That's a decrease of 85%. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
I think this, and it corresponds with Denmark's legalization of prostitution and erotic entertainment. When they did that in the 60s, their sexual crime rates went down as well. And it just goes to show you, when you have a normal natural function like sexuality, if you try to stigmatize it, people are going to rebel. It's just not a natural thing to have sex looked at as sinful, dirty, to be reserved only for in marriage. Native American tradition is not like that. Native Americans believed in the natural sexuality of people. They understood that people were not going to save sex for marriage, if you will. They also understood that people divorced. In Native American culture, a woman only had to put her husband's belongings outside of the residence to symbolize they were divorced. People didn't get married for life. They did what was called a hand tying, and most often that lasted for 7 years. But at any time in that 7 years, you could separate. If far better to separate than to kill each other.
Yeah, there's a good point there. You know, I think it's fascinating the time we're living in where, you know, there's that parallel. Like, you know, back in my day, finding any sort of adult entertainment meant a lot of looking in back rooms and seedy places and bad VHS copies. Now, somebody who's a college freshman at UCLA, for example, has never existed in a time where they didn't have easy access to marijuana or porn. And what a different generation this is going to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Time magazine did an episode, or an expose rather, on the porn industry and how that has affected society now, and how a lot of people, a lot of guys in particular, in their, I don't know, 20s, 30s, are having a hard time enjoying sex pornography on the internet. Well, that's really not what sex is about. It's supposed to be something that you enjoy with the person that you love. And hopefully, well, the pendulum has swung enough both ways that we will eventually find ourselves in the center again, where sex is not such a big thrill. It's not the vulgarity of watching people explicitly having sex that turns us on, but rather pleasing our partner sexually that turns us on, the person that we care about.
Mm. Great stuff, and you can learn more about it every week on Hyapatia Lee's Stoner Sex column. Let's give people some contact information if they want to send in a question or correspond with you at all.
Absolutely. The fastest way to correspond with me is at hyapatialee@gmail.com. You can write to me directly that way, and I'll be happy to answer you or put your question in the Stoner Sex column, whichever you'd like. I also have a blog at hyapatialee.wordpress.com. As you mentioned, I have an Amazon author page, Hyapatia Lee. I'm also going to be at the Southern California Halloween Cup at the NOS Center in San Bernardino on October 7th through 9th. I'll be doing a presentation there about my book and how cannabis can help us with our mental health.
All
right. And I hate to use the term mental health. To me, it's more emotional strength.
Yes, October
7th. It's just about being emotionally strong.
October 7th through 9th.
It's going to happen.
At the NOS Center, the Halloween Cannabis Cup. I think I'm going to put that down on my calendar, Hyapatia, and I'll meet you there.
Will you be there, sweetie? Oh, awesome. I would love to see you in person, darling. I'm such a big fan of you.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'm a big fan of yours as well. Thank you so much.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you, sweetie.
Hyapatia Lee's column appears on hightimes.com. Check that out. Hyapatia, Hyapatia. Thank you so much for joining us, Miss Lee. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, darling. You have a great day, and I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person in California.
We'll see you on Halloween.
Thank you, sweetie. You take care.
All right, folks, when we return, we'll have time for a radical rant. How the red states need to reconsider medical marijuana and think about decriminalization first when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Lady Marijuana Llama, tell you something now about a game for your phone. Gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seed, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know? Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You're going to be a...
great-granddad.
Pretty cool.
Morgan is Ray Dawn's son. Morgan and his wife, Tracy, they've been trying to have a baby for quite some time. Did you hear what I said to Morgan?
What?
Do you know who the father is?
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Well, today in the Radical Rant, I want to think back to my weekend trip to Idaho, where I attended the Boise Hemp Fest. I spoke there. And there was a lot of support out there for the Idaho Medical Marijuana Association. And before I get off on this rant, let me just say right up front, I absolutely support the Idaho Medical Marijuana Association. Do what you can. Get medical marijuana on the ballot. It's a courageous fight. It's an honorable fight. I wish you the best of luck. That said, I think it's a mistake. And I'll tell you why. It's not a mistake that you should want to help patients. Of course not. It's not a mistake to think that you want to get medical marijuana passed, but I think it's a mistake of timing and understanding the audience. There's an old saying in Idaho that goes, Idaho is what America was. And they mean that as a compliment. They mean that as a good thing. They don't mean that as an indictment of its white Christian identity or its retrograde conservative politics or anything like that, right? It's just supposed to mean, you know, harken back to the good old days kind of thing, right? Idaho is what America was. Great, right? You see Trump sign out there, make America great again? That's speaking to Idahoans, okay? Statistically speaking, according to Real Clear Politics, there is a 98.2% chance Trump wins the state of Idaho. It's the fourth greatest chance Trump has in any state, following Oklahoma, Alabama, and what was the other one? West Virginia, I think, where he had greater than 98% chance of winning the state. So these are the people that think America's not great right now and they want America to be great again. And so when you say Idaho is what America was, the medical marijuana proponents in Idaho think that Idaho's at 1996 when California was first considering medical marijuana. But I don't think Idaho's made it that far yet. I don't think Idaho is at 1996 yet. And I think it can't get to 1996 because it's got 20 years of medical marijuana to look at. You approach an Idahoan on medical marijuana, and yeah, sure, you can do the polls. You can poll them on medical marijuana, and they'll say 70% of them support medical marijuana. That's true. The problem is, the medical marijuana they support in the polls is an idealized vision of their grandma needing it for cancer who has someone growing it for her on the sly. Their idea is not the West Coast proliferation of pot shops, pot billboards, and pot festivals. When you go to, say, medical marijuana, when you go to get a signature for medical marijuana or try to get a vote for medical marijuana, you're going to have a lot of Idahoans who are just going to think bullshit. That's what they called it on the West Coast, medical marijuana. And look how that turned out. They're all legal now. They all have pot shops. They all have billboards. They all have stoners and pot festivals all over the place. Hell, Oregon's got pot at its state fair. So that's what Idahoans hear and think when you try to bring medical marijuana to them because they've seen the experience over the past 20 years. yes, they are swayed by the compassion for epileptic kids or grandmas with cancer or glaucoma, but they're going to be so tied up in trying to avoid medical marijuana being like Oregon, Washington, or California, that to pass in Idaho, you're going to have to write up one of those airtight, no smoking, no home grow laws like what you get in New York, Minnesota, and Pennsylvania. Laws that are so restrictive and so impractical that you can't get any grassroots activists behind them. And then Idaho, of course, is too small to expect any of the national organizations to be jumping in anytime soon, or the big funders. So you have to get something that can pass in Idaho that activists can get behind. And I don't think medical marijuana is there. I think Idaho is not yet at 1996. Idaho is really more like 1976. Idaho's in the middle of the 1970s, like when states like Oregon and Nebraska were passing decriminalization of an ounce. That's the direction red states like Idaho should be going. With decrim, you get to convince these Idahoans that they're not opening the floodgates to rampant marijuana abuse. Instead, you're asking them to acknowledge the reality that the state is surrounded by legal and medical marijuana. Oregon and Washington have legal marijuana. Nevada's going to have legal marijuana. Montana's going to expand its medical marijuana. Canada's going to legalize marijuana. Utah and Wyoming still have CBD oil for the kids. They're surrounded. So you could say, since the state is surrounded, why should we keep wasting Idaho taxpayers' money and police, crime lab, court, jail, and probation time on busting some out-of-state traveler with a little weed on him? You could establish decrim as the smart answer to what Idahoans believe is a flood of marijuana coming across the western border. You could set the fine higher for those without local IDs and sell it as a way to punish those who don't respect Idaho law. And Idahoans would also buy decrim as removing the criminal record aspect of a marijuana violation that makes it harder for that person to go straight. So you set up this decriminalization and you sell it to Idahoans as being able to still hate pot. You're still able to keep potheads out of your state and still able to keep pot shops from cropping up, but you're not going to waste the taxpayers' time and the jail space and all of that. You're just going to make money on it instead. Free fine money coming in for the state of Idaho every time they catch someone crossing the border. Then, when you get people sold on that decriminalization, you also bury within it an affirmative defense to the fine for anybody who can show a doctor's recommendation for medical cannabis use. So your medical marijuana card or your doctor's letter would get you out of the fine. So this decrim, it would still leave patients without safe access. It would still leave growers subject to felonies. It would still leave consumers without a shop. But at least functionally, Idaho law would not be able to punish a patient caught with a personal amount. And other consumers would only get a fine, not a criminal record. You get that set up, you immediately protect patients from harassment and arrest. And you set up a political friction, because those patients now protected from arrest are going to start asking, okay, where do we get our medicine? And they're going to go across the border to get it in Oregon or Washington or Nevada. And they're going to come back across the border with it and get stopped. And then they're going to have to go to court to show their affirmative defense to get out of the fine. And that's going to cause a political friction. That's going to cause people's complaints. And those deficiencies are going to lead people to want a better law. Because now you've already got them committed to the idea that medical users shouldn't be punished. So you've got them committed to that. Now you can start to get them to commit to better laws to help those patients out. Just a theory, I could be wrong. And I certainly wish Idaho Medical Marijuana Association all the luck in the world. But man, if I had the money to throw at you, I'd be throwing it at you for a decrim measure. I think you could pass decrim in Idaho. I don't know about medical. Well, folks, that's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned. Hour two is up next. We got more stories. We're going to talk Olympics. We're going to talk Colorado sales figures and more. For everyone here at Cannabis Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.